DMTWclothing.com. Don't make this weird. Whatever it is that you do in life, again, do with your heart, chase your passions, and watch it become reality. That's what we're about.
You guys are going to find some cool items, some MMCast items for sale here in the next 3 weeks. They'll be all launched, and next, you know, more conventions, things like that. So,
welcome, travelers. We're aware that your journey was difficult, but prepare to have your questions answered, for you have been granted an audience with the Masters of Mod.
And welcome back to Masters of Modern. I am your host, Alex Kessler, here with my co-host, Ben Bateman, who's actually not here right now. Timing was an issue because we didn't get to record in our normal time this week, and both of us have pretty busy weeks. So Ben was actually here. He left. I'm recording this intro at the end of the podcast, so I already know everything that's going to happen. But, you know, today we're going to be doing our Deck Doctor episode. So the way this works is we have a Patreon. Make sure to go check it out. It makes it so we kind of can do semi-cooler things like this, like the live stream we did, like live streaming on Twitch. We're going to be expanding our video content release, hopefully soon, and stuff like the Swag Box, where you donate $50 a month and we send you a cool thing in the mail. With that, by donating, the base level actually gives you the right to submit deck techs on the Patreon, and you submit them on patreon.com in our submitting area. Other people can see kind of which deck list you're posting if you're in our kind of Patreon group, and those are the decks that we will consider for doing Deck Doctor episodes that we're going to do about once a month. This is this week's episode. We're doing three sweet lists. Beyond that, make sure to follow us on Twitter. I am at Kess Wiley. The podcast is at the MMCast. Ben Bateman is at BenBatemanMedia.com. We have a sister podcast, The Command Zone. Check them out. They're also on RocketJump.com. We're on RocketJump.com. Our YouTube channel, we have a YouTube channel. You should go subscribe because we're going to release video content there. So make sure to check that out. Oh, we also have an Instagram. I think it's the MMCast on Instagram. I don't know. Nope. Ben's leftover handful. So sorry, today's episode was weird. It's also been late. Ben's birthday was early this week, and I actually just got regular sick on Monday night. I had a migraine and didn't sleep for 6 hours, and so we missed our normal recording time. And so it's being released late now. Thanks for listening, guys. And Ben should be arriving now. We'll get to our first deck. It's a mono blacklist from KitchenTableMagic.com.
There are some cards on this list. Yeah,
this is an entire website that's donating to our Patreon.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
It's so really, really cool.
So to kind of give you an idea, this is a Blood Artist, Zelaport, Cutthroat, Mono Black, Disciple of the Vault, Bloodseeker, Blood Throne Vampire.
It's doing a lot of things.
One of the cool things, it's doing a Violent Plague.
Yeah.
Which is all tokens get -2/-2.
Yeah, it's basically the Engineered Plague
plus
for
Genesis
all creatures.
Chamber.
Yeah.
There's one black for the same effect. I forgot what it's called.
No, you're talking about tokens get -1.
Yeah,
-1.
But that's what
what he's
Violent
looking
Plague
for.
Does.
Well, yes, Violent Plague is all creatures get -1.
No, it's all tokens get -1/-2. -2/-2.
Sure about that?
Yeah, you can look it up.
I guess
while I talk about what this deck is doing,
no,
you
no,
can look
you're
it
100%
up.
Right, because Knight of Souls Betrayal costs 4 and gives all creatures -1/-1. There's no way that it's all creatures get -2/-2 for 3.
Yes,
yeah, so
that would be very good.
Yeah, so it is just all creature tokens get -2/-2.
Correct.
But it's
but there's the one drop that does that same thing.
Creature tokens get -1/-1.
That seems way better for this deck.
Yes, it definitely does. You're talking about the card from, I think, Avacyn Restored that I used to play in one of the versions of Hunted Handsome, right?
You would know way better
than
I would.
Wasn't that called...
I'm going to let you look that up. All right. So, you know, what this deck is trying to do is you have a bunch of these cards that all either cause damage when creatures that your opponent control die, that you control die, or when creatures your opponent go into play. The card that we're talking about was Illness in the Ranks.
Yeah, Illness in the Ranks. This was the card that you would play one, you'd have this in play with a Blood Artist, and then you would play Hunted Phantasm, and your opponent would get 5/1/1s, and they would all die immediately.
Right. And because there's no reason that I can think of that a card that stops -2/-2, like, are there tokens that 2/2 tokens that are out there?
So let me pull this list up in front of me. So you had,
well, no, I mean in the world.
Yeah, no, I'm just trying, like, to
are other decks
making 2/2 tokens.
Is there a reason that a -2/-2 would be better against opponents than -1/-1?
Not really,
because the
mean,
thing that this is doing this with is with Genesis Chamber, those are 1/1s, so for sure the Illness in the Ranks is just the stronger version of it, because
yeah,
it's only 1 mana. So
definitely.
I think that's the first big change we'd make. Because that's something this deck is trying to do. So it's using Genesis Chamber, which for those who don't know is a 2-mana artifact that whenever a creature comes into play, that player puts a 1/1 token into play under their control.
I guess if you're against the tokens deck that is playing like Honor of the Pure or not Honor of the Pure.
Yeah, but that's so... I feel like...
Intangible
like,
Virtue.
Lingering Souls is the main token creator in the format.
Yeah, true.
So -1/-1 is normally just good enough.
I guess like it kills the Huntmaster Wolf. I guess it kills
like... Yeah, but
like,
-1 also kills like the Young Pyromancer.
Yeah, we're going deep if we're looking for 2/2 tokens.
Yeah, I think the 3-mana is better than 1-mana.
Yeah, I'm with
for
you.
For sure. So and definitely that's one of the first changes is just switch those because it does the same thing, but 1-mana is always better than 3.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And there's 4 of you in the plague, so you're going to swap those
mana's
out.
Mana's like golf.
Yeah.
You don't the smaller your score is, the better.
Right, absolutely. And that's the sort of thing. I mean, you can track most modern lists to the same thing, which is that once you get past 2-mana, the cards have to have a very specific purpose. If something costs 3, it's got to be kind of a haymaker, very important card to your strategy.
So I want to read kind of the exact list really quick.
Okay.
And then we can kind of go with how we make changes. So there's 4 Blood Artists, great. 4 Zolopoke Cutthroat, great. 4 Royal Assassin.
Sweet.
4 Wrathy Trapper.
Yeah, I mean, Wrathy Trapper is also sweet. That's like, Wrathy Trapper's like, that's like a Time Spiral, or I think it's a Planar Chaos card.
Yeah, it was in Modern Masters 1.
They call it Wrathy Tapper.
Yeah, because right? He taps things.
Yeah, it's good.
He's a rebel.
Yeah.
Disciple of the Vault 2.
Yeah, that's where we'll get into the weirdness of this list. That's the thing that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
3 Bloodseeker.
Yep.
2 Malakir Cullblade. Which is the black colorless, whenever a creature your opponent control dies, it gets +1/+1. Love that card. 2 Falconwrath Nobles, which is basically just 4-mana Blood Artist.
Yeah, it's a rough card to play in this list because you already have 8 of the effect that you want. But, I mean, it's a 2-2 flyer.
And he's only playing 2 of them. And, yeah. You really want this effect in this deck.
Yeah, yeah.
2 Netling Imp. I don't even know what this card...
Netling Imp? You don't remember Netling Imp?
I looked it up. It was a lot of text in an old card.
Yeah, it's a weird kind of tapper. I think it's like, but it's more than that. Like,
is it like half Royal Assassin, half Wrathy Tapper?
Kind of, yeah. Like, and so it ended up in...
Is it a zombie? No, it's an imp.
Also not in Modern, so that's...
Oh, so yeah, that's getting cut.
It's
okay, I already crossed it down on my thing. Yeah. 2 Death Greeters, which is the card that whenever a card... creature enters the graveyard that your opponent controls, you gain a life.
Death Seeker, you mean?
Death Greeter.
Death Greeter.
Blood Seeker is whenever an artifact creature enters the graveyard, target opponent loses one life.
Death Greeter?
Yeah.
That's not a card.
Oh, it's one word.
Death Greeter. Got it.
Yeah. 1 Blood Throne Vampire. And then we get in the enchantments. There's some saucy enchantments. 4 Virent Plague. We talked about that. That should just be an illness in the ranks.
Right.
1 Grave Betrayal.
Yep.
1 Dictate of Uribos.
Uh-huh.
1 Vampiric Rites. 1 Shadows of the Past.
Sweet.
And 1 Retreat of Hagra. Retreat the Hagra.
Then you have 1 copy of Murder.
And 4 copies of Genesis Chamber. And then all them swamps.
18 swamps.
Yep.
So it's a really mana light deck, first of all.
Correct.
18 is not enough.
Not enough.
No. I'm not doing anything that's cheating mana here, really.
So my first note is to add 4 Westville Abbeys.
It's kind of expensive, isn't it?
No, it's like a $5 card.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's not expensive.
I thought that it was really expensive.
It was expensive maybe when this list was submitted. Now is the time to add them because it's cheaper than it used to be.
$9.
$9? Okay. So it's expensive. Oh, definitely a chunk of these cards will be expensive. And like if you can't afford this, add 1 or just add more swamps. I do think you need to be at 22, especially with all these enchantments. Though I do think you want to cut Shadows of the Past, Retreat to Hagra, and Grave Betrayal.
I also think that...
Because Grave Betrayal is a 7-mana enchantment and you're playing 18 lands.
I also think you need removal and a single copy of Murder is not going to cut it.
And I was thinking go with...
Go
if
for
you
the
want,
throat.
No, I was thinking Hero's Downfall. If you're fine with the 3-mana.
Yeah, but that's the problem for me is I think Murder's a good card. Hero's Downfall is a good card. I don't think that this deck is that concerned.
The problem with Go for the Throat is that this deck has a huge problem against Affinity because they can get around all your sac effect removal.
So what if you played a combination? What if you played... I think you need 4 copies of removal in this next point. I think you need 4 spells. That's what... Any streamlined creature deck with a strategy...
I mean, what you could do... is eschew the red-black mana base. The fetch land part of a 2-color mana base, but go after red-black dual lands that aren't as expensive.
Sure, Black
and
Leaf
splash
Cliffs.
Lightning Bolt. Blackleaf Cliffs, the new one.
The
reveal a swamp or a mountain and it comes into play on tap.
Sure.
Like, that card seems fine in this because you just have a bunch of swamps.
You can play the Black Dragon Skull Summit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like all like those kind of cards. Like, it seems that's not expensive.
It seems fine. I don't know how necessary putting in Burn in this deck just for that reason. I mean, I like Lightning Bolt.
Plus, then you could sideboard Blood Moon. I mean, that's really expensive, but you just sometimes wreck people because you're getting the splash of Blood Moon.
I'd be more excited
this is
about
Black
playing.
Moon.
So here's what I think you should
Isn't
do.
Is that a card?
I think
Bad Moon. Okay.
I would be more inclined to say play like one Go for the Throat. If you're going budget, go one Go for the Throat, one Doomblade, maybe one Hero's Downfall over the Murder, and then like one other black removal
What's
spell.
What's the -1/-1 or -13 -? Oh, that's what you should be playing.
Oh, Tragic Slip.
You should play four Tragic Slip. We're wrong. Just play four Tragic Slip.
Tragic Slip, sweet.
Because you have all these Sack Outlets, and I'm like, my next advice is to put Viscera Seer in there.
Yeah.
Because you want the Scry, you want a free Sack Outlet in this deck real bad.
Because here's my thing with avoiding Hero's Downfall. I don't think you care about Planeswalkers in this deck. Like, I don't really think you care. Your game plan
Sure.
Your game plan is just like...
But a Hero's Downfall is just blatantly better than Murder.
Yeah.
And, it's not that more expensive.
Yeah. Rare
it's
like versus common.
It's a dollar versus 5 cents, I guess.
What do you think about the choice to play one Grave Betrayal, one Dictate of Erebos? I like the thinking here.
I don't think you can get away with Grave Betrayal with anything under 26 lands. And this deck won't need that many lands.
Wait, am I mixing up my list?
Yes, you think Grave Pact.
Oh, Grave Pact.
Grave Pact sounds awesome.
It sounds awesome in this
deck.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's what I was going for.
Grave Betrayal is in the deck currently as a 7-mana spell.
Seven. Doesn't
I don't even know what the card does.
Grave Betrayal?
Yeah.
It's got like...
Plus, whenever a creature dies, you get to put it into play under your control. Yes, I do know what that does.
Yeah, it's sweet. And isn't the art really cool? Like, isn't it...
Yeah, it's like a cool dragon zombie.
It's a dragon zombie? It's not like Nicol Bolas?
I mean, it might be a Nicol Bolas zombie, but he's not dead.
No, yeah, it's just a cool dragon zombie.
Told you. Called it. Nailed it.
Nailed it.
All right, so.
I would go, you got to stock up on your removal. You got to fix your mana base.
Well,
so
another removal spot, I think Fleshbag Marauder I really like in this kind of deck.
Yeah, it seems strong.
Because you get two triggers off of Blood Artist. It's a zombie, which is going to be relevant to the cards I'm about to start talking about. I guess that's a good segue as any. Garrosh Messenger and Gravecrawler.
Yeah, those are definitely.
Like Gravecrawler, with those, you kind of have a really good engine that goes on. They're not too expensive. They're each $5 a piece.
Yeah.
So it's not that bad. And you know, Gravecrawler is just a aggro threat that early, if you get it on turn one, you can start just beating face with it, and it can help. And also Grey Merchant.
Yeah.
Once you add Grave Pact, Giraffe's Messenger, and all these one drop black creatures spells and enchantments, like Grey Merchant gets really good. And I'm not even saying add five. I'm saying like add one. Maybe two.
One Gary?
Because a 5-mana spell is still expensive, especially with 22 lands, but maybe one or two, and then maybe some in the sideboard even.
You're just overloaded on creatures and things here. So, like, there's just a lot going on with this list. Like, I think, honestly, as tough as it is, I think you just cut the Genesis Chamber... I think you just have to cut that whole thing.
I don't know. That's a pretty interesting combo. Because you're so many creatures, you're going to be able to stop everything on the ground and definitely out. Because most people aren't playing a ton of non-token creatures. So you're going to out-token people as just an aggro game plan with this deck. And beyond that, I think you it's an engine that does, like, with Blood Artist, you kind of just win.
So are you thinking then you cut the Royal Assassins and you cut the Wrathy Trappers? That's your first.
So my immediate cuts are cut the big expensive enchantments, go down to four Illness in the Ranks, four Genesis Chambers, and one Dictate of Erebos, one Grave Pact. To be totally honest, I think you just want two Grave Pacts.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. When I was asking about Grave Betrayal, I thought that it was Grave Pact.
That's what
I was saying. I think you just want two of those because I don't see the benefit
of Flash in this deck. You're a tap out deck.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And when you cast that, you should be able to. I think you cut down, I think you plus up on Malakir Callblades. The when your opponent's creature dies, it gets +1/+1.
Yeah.
Because that seems insane with Genesis Chamber. I think you can cut down on the Disciple of the Vaults, even though those are sweet with that thing. I think you have enough other payoffs that'll be good always instead of one you just have the combo.
That's a good point.
Death Greeters, get rid of it. I think Bloodseeker is a little cute. Not even cute. It's just expensive for what it does.
Really?
It's expensive. A 1/1 for two
that
like will sometimes have your opponent lose a life. It seems like there are stronger.
Yeah, pound.
I guess it does trigger off Genesis Chamber, and if you're trying to go deep on that, I don't know if this build is the exact way to do that, though it is a way to do that.
I just think that pound for pound, what you're looking for in a deck like this is you got to go, because this is how I build, right? I come up with like synergy between commons and uncommons and underused rares. That's how I like to play. So if you do something like that, what you have to basically do is you realize, okay, the best cards in Modern are clearly the best cards in Modern. They're in all the decks. So the best ones and twos and threes, everybody uses them, everybody knows what they are. So if you're going to make the choice to build a deck that doesn't play those cards, you then have to look at the cost, the mana cost of every one of the cards in your deck and say, for what I'm doing at two, how does this get me to the same point in my game plan as what Jund is doing with the Dark Confidant on two, or what Jund is doing with a Tarmogoyf on two, or with Affinity is doing with a Steel Overseer on two? How synergistic to their game plan is that 2-drop versus my 2-drop? Scalable your 3s and your 4s. Which is why I think in a thing like this, you did Bloodseeker, it's like, what's really the payoff on that 2-drop? Versus like Blood Artist, where the payoff is enormous. Blood Artist and Missoula Park Cutthroat for the deck idea make a lot of sense, and that's where you want to go. The things you want to avoid are things that are like Wrathy Trapper on 2. It's like, that's fine.
Oh yeah, the Wrathy Trapper. They're crossed out, so like the Netting Imp, Wrathy Trapper and Royal Assassin can all, I think, become more A, aggressive threats, less expensive threats, faster threats, and or just straight up removal. So, okay, so I think that's it for the kitchen table. One thing he did say, and something to keep in mind, is I think he was building this deck originally with the intent for more of a multiplayer.
Got it.
Like casual Modern. But okay. I do think there's stuff here. With a Blood Artist mono black triggers deck based on making your opponent sack things and giving them tokens that you then kill.
Yeah.
That definitely works. Oh, a card that might actually be kind of amazing is the land that you love.
The land?
Not that you love, but it makes tokens for your opponent.
Oh, yes.
Speaking, if you want to splash red, that's an on game plan multicolor spell that also opens up your sideboard options.
Forbidden Orchard.
Forbidden Orchard.
Well, the one other card I think that would be cool to think about in this deck is Killing Wave. Which is the Avacyn Restored Rare for a black and X, and it's
I have a sweet card
for too. Each creature, each player may pay X life or sacrifice that creature.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do that in a deck with like Blood Artists and Cutthroats, it all happens at once. So if you have like four creatures,
you can target yourself with it, which is what's important.
It's you can wipe your own board for one black because you just pay zero.
Yeah.
You just pay one black and sack your whole board. And if you have like a Blood Artist to cut through, like two creatures.
You can not have the Blood Artist die because you can pay the zero life for that creature.
Yeah, because Blood Artist, and you know, it'll trigger for each one of the creatures. So will the Cutthroat. You know, you can drain for a lot of life. And also at the higher level, if you know their life total.
If you have enough mana, you can kind of
scale
force them into stuff.
Yeah, do it for three or do it for four. And it's like if they have two or three creatures, you know, you can wipe them out.
Yeah.
So I don't mind that as a one of. I think it's kind of a fun card for a deck like this.
Another card that, like, on a cuter level, a Mortician Beetle. Do you know Mortician Beetle?
Mortician Beetle is the one where you can't cause you to sacrifice creatures.
No. So it's one black for a 1/1. Whenever your opponent sacrifices a creature, it gets +1/+1.
Oh, yeah. It's from the Rise of the Eldrazi.
Yeah. So it's kind of like, it's very similar to what Malakir Cullblade is doing.
Got it.
This would be, you need to up your sack levels a lot higher, but I definitely think that's another card to be looking at here.
Yeah, definitely have to do your sack levels.
So that's the first list we're doing today. What's the second one?
Second list we are doing today is something that is similar to something I've been talking about on the podcast. And this is from Tom Aranga. This is like a sweet zombies list.
Gifts Ungiven zombies list.
Yeah, so I'll explain what's going on here. First, you got the creatures. 4 Gravecaller, 4 Relentless Dead, 1 Duralis Messenger, 1 Scab Ruinator, 2 Liliana Heretical Healer, 2 Nantuko Husk, 4 Diagraph Colossus, 4 Prized Amalgam, 1 Duralis Masterpiece, 1 Grey Merchant of Asphodel, 4 then the spells, 4 Thoughtseize, 3 Necromancer's Stockpile, 4 Compelling Deterrence, 3 Gifts Ungiven. You have a land package that's, you know, your colors plus 1 Westvale Abbey, a Ghost Quarter, a couple Cavern of Souls, and 2 Nykthos. And then, you know, you have a sideboard with sideboard stuff. So it's trying to be a zombie-ish deck that discards zombies to get further its game plan. It's using some of the clever things with Scab Ruinator and Liliana Heretical Healer and Relentless Dead that we talked about on here a little bit. It's, you know, it's your zombie return everything to the battlefield kind of deck.
What's your thought on Garoff's Masterpiece?
Garoff's Masterpiece I don't like.
So I was thinking that originally, but then I realized like with Gifts Ungiven and Necromancer Stockpile,
right,
it gives you like a serious value, and it's also a pretty good way to, once you get it into the graveyard, it kind of snowballs as a discard outlet. because you can then use it to discard three cards to put it in a play.
Yeah.
So you can kind of use it to get the Garrosh Messenger out of your hand, or just for free put some Grave Crawlers in there that then bring it back.
Yeah, I mean,
and the fact that you can play it from the graveyard means that you can get Grave Crawlers back.
I don't hate it. It's just not, like, I just don't love it. I guess it's flying, which is sweet. Like, that's definitely a big plus for that card.
Once you get in from the graveyard, it's a 7/7 flyer for four.
Well, if you have no cards in hand.
But you discard three cards when you put it from your graveyard.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
Which is,
like,
way better, by the way, than Garrosh Messengers.
If you have no cards in hand in Modern and you're not winning the game, like, the card, the power level is so high. Like,
Instant speed, though, so it's flash. So you get, yeah. Basically, you untap with a 7/7. Instant speed on the end at their end step.
It's fine. I just don't think it's great. I don't mind it as a one of in the deck. I do think that there's some really interesting stuff going on in this list. So the first thing that comes to mind for me is, I really like gifts and doing these sort of like cool one of zombies. The cards that I really immediately have questions about, and tell me if you agree. So Necromancer Stockpile is cool. I like Necromancer Stockpile in this list. But I have to ask myself the question, it's pretty expensive to get value out of Necromancer Stockpile.
Sure.
You know, for two mana, you get yourself a 2/2 and you get a backwards loot. And then you get to put, you know, your Grave Crawler or whatever in your graveyard. So that's all fine. But again, the setup for that is, it's a little dubious. Like, it's not what I want to be playing on turn two. The activation is two mana, and so you only have, the only one drops in the deck you have are Grave Crawlers and Thoughtseizes. So, like, thinking about curving out.
I've been saying Garrosh Messenger for a while, yeah. And I 100% meant Scab Ruinator that whole time. Every time I said Garrosh Messenger, since we started this specific
deck. Oh, got it.
Deck.
Okay.
Yeah, Scab Ruinator is way harder to get out of the graveyard than Masterpiece.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, so you're doing the same thing with Ruinator here with Heretical Healer and Relentless Dead that we were talking about. Where,
correct.
And that's
correct.
Cool. I like that a lot. I also like having the one of Ruinator to go along with your gifts. That's cool.
I mean, this isn't making this deck any cheaper, but what about instead of Necromancer's Stockpile, adding four Aether Vial? It seems really sweet. Like, most of this list is 1 to 3 mana.
Like, okay, so let's make something very clear here. Like, there's a direction you can take this list that is very similar to the direction that we were talking about just a couple weeks ago with Aether Vials Collected Companies and going there. Like, you can do that. It's not that far from what we were doing.
I don't think you need to go full into Collected Company land, because that makes it so, like, your gifts and Thoughtseizes aren't good. But I think just Aether Vial is really good in this deck, because you have a lot of 2-drops that do cool triggers when they come into play, so you get that free mana. And, like, the rest of the deck is a 3-drop.
Because my recommendation was actually going to be, I think you should go into green in this deck. I think you should
play Collected Company.
No, actually, not Nested Company, but you have to change the creature list. The reason you go into green is...
There's only 3 creatures that are bigger than...
Yeah, this could be this could be a Collected Company list, but if you're going to go Collected Company, then you change the creatures in the list, because you don't actually want Prize and Amalgam in the list anymore. It's just, it's fine, but it's not really what you want to be hitting.
But I feel like, yes, it's not great, but it's better than a Birds of Paradise, and people are happy to hit Birds of Paradise off of...
Yeah, but you look, we know from building Collected Companies decks how many, like, so 24 is a fine creature count. You really want closer to 26, but, like, yeah, a bunch of your spells have to get replaced now.
We're cutting 3. So you make the 3 Necromancer Stockpiles into Collected Companies.
Okay.
I don't know what Compelling Deterrence is.
Compelling Deterrence is 1 blue, 1 colorless, return target non-land permanent to his owner's hand. If you have a zombie, you get a 2/2 zombie.
I'm sorry.
I take it back. If you have a zombie, they discard a card. It turns into recoil if you control a zombie.
So I would say go 3/3 with gifts. I think you're wrong. I think you can get away with 24. It's not as good, but I think you can get away with 24.
Here's what I think you should do. I think you should add green to the deck. Don't bother with Coco. I want 2 copies of Fauna Shaman in this deck.
Fauna Shaman is actually super slow.
Yeah, but I like Fauna Shaman more than I like. So I like Fauna Shaman more
I think
than
gifts
I like.
Is way better than Fauna Shaman.
No, you keep gifts.
I think those are the same slot.
No, this is what I like, because you're building a deck that has, like, your little one ofs and stuff. You have your 1 Gray Merchant, you have your 1 Scab Ruinator, right? Like, you have your 1 Giraffe's Masterpiece. I like all that. I also like the fact that it's a zombie deck that plays Fauna Shaman, so you can discard stuff. And I also like the fact that you can put Abrupt Decay in the deck now. If you play green, you can change things around. You don't have to deal with Compelling Deterrence. As cool as Compelling Deterrence is, I think you just play Abrupt Decay. And maybe you play Deterrences in the sideboard. instead of decay. So if there are certain permanents that, like stuff that's over three, you know, stuff that you have to mess around with, you just bring in your deterrences, because I think that's a sweet card. I think that is really cool, and I like that you're playing it in a zombies list. But I would go with some number of abrupt decays over the deterrences. I would play Fauna Shaman. Maybe I'd play like two Fauna Shaman or one Fauna Shaman. Maybe you do this. You go two gifts instead of three gifts, and you go two stockpile instead of three, and you put in two Fauna Shaman, and you change those compelling. You change the compelling deterrences in the main deck to abrupt decays, and that way you
actually
have,
I mean, okay. I mean, I guess my point to go to the Coco thing is just cut Thoughtseize and make two gifts for Thoughtseize, cut the other spells, and then put some creatures in there.
If you go with gifts in this, or if you go with Coco in this deck, I just think your creature base just changes. You're not getting out of this list what you want out of Coco. Like, it's just
you add Gareth's Messengers, you go to three, you go to four,
okay.
You go to four Nantuku husks, or yeah, and there you go. And then you cut Thoughtseize and compelling deterrence for
something like that. Yeah, I mean, I think
Abzan Coco plays 28 creatures.
Right.
Main deck.
And we played 26, maybe. 26 or 27 in our Coco lists. 25. Sure. Maybe we got down to 25 in the end. I'm just looking, and I'm looking at some of these cards, and I'm thinking,
that means you need two more creatures out of this list.
Yeah, right. Okay.
So, theoretically four, because Grey Merchant and Garrof's Masterpiece aren't technically...
Again, hits, I'm just...
But everything
else
in this deck is a hit.
I like Diagraph Colossus in this deck, and Diagraph Colossus with Coco sounds awesome. I still fail to understand why Prized Amalgam wants to be in a list that plays Collected Company. What am I missing there that makes that card... You're going the wrong direction.
It's just good with the other half of your deck. Like,
it's good with a couple copies of Gifts.
It's good with Gifts. It's good with Liliana, Heretical Healer. It's good with...
Necromancer Stockpile.
Well, we're cutting that.
Yeah, I think it's one or the other.
I think you can cut Prized Amalgam then. I don't think you need Prized Amalgam in this deck. There are other zombies that you can play in this format. It's really good with Gravecrawler, though. I mean, like, there are reasons to have it in here. Or maybe cut down to two. Like, I don't think you need four.
Yeah.
Because you're not dredging into it, so there's no reason you need a maximum on it. But having one or two to just as a value card is not a bad idea.
Fair enough. All right.
Like, Garrof's Messenger can be a four of.
Yeah.
Easy. And that gets you really close to the number of creatures you need in this deck for Coco. All right, so that's the third list. Last but not least, that's the second list. So before you leave, because you have to leave early.
Yeah, I got to rush out.
Tag in someone who knows nothing about Magic. we're going to do...
Eric Landis has a deck for us.
At Proggy Boog. I know your Twitter.
Yeah.
I know it. I met you in real life.
It was offhand you just did that. You didn't even have to look.
Yeah, I'm good.
It's pretty good. So this is like a sweet...
It's like a Teemer Delver kind of list without
Thing
Delvers.
Thing in the Ice kind of a thing.
Delver is mediocre and Thing in the Ice is sweet. So, yeah. any immediate thoughts before we jump in?
I like this list. This is so like my kind of Magic card list. I just like playing these sort of cards. I think... I can see that you're going for pretty cheap stuff. There's a copy of Steel Sabotage in here that's cool. I think you probably want to be playing some number of Electrolyzes. It seems like a mistake to play no Electrolyzes in a list like this. Aside from that, it's Teemer. Like, I actually don't
like Electrolyze right now, but really? That's a different conversation. Yeah.
I also, and this is just me, but like, because it's Teemer, I don't mind the idea of like just playing a couple copies of Rancor. Like, like, I don't really think it's, like, the worst. I've seen it work in decks like this. I mean, I guess you start to kind of go more towards that. You start to go more towards that, like, what was the name of that card that Chapin likes so much? The red, Keep, Carol Keep, Abbott.
Abbott, yeah.
Which might not be bad in here, actually. I love Abbott. But you've got some more expensive cards. But I think, like, this deck is going to be fast and it's going to be good. And Thing in the Ice is going to be, like, sort of your ace in the hole. But I still feel like this is... almost doing what it wants to do, but it's slightly off brand. Do you know what I mean? It's not
few cards that I would cut. Like, I mean, you have to go, so do you want to finish your thoughts before I jump into mine and then close out the podcast?
Yeah, I gotta get out of here. Yeah,
okay.
Rancor may just be completely wrong, but I tend to like, I don't mind when you can flash in a Snapcaster Mage or you can flash in a Vendilion Click. Or you can play some instant end of turn and get your Pyromancer tokens on the table and then untap and throw Rancor down on the table and like, or you just put a Rancor on a Tarmogoyf. Like, I just think it changes the math. People don't see it coming. When Thing of the Ice flips, it's bigger. doesn't have trample. I'd like the idea of just two of those.
But there's nothing in play.
What?
There's nothing in play. We're thinking the ice.
Yeah, well, if you flip it like end of turn or whatever, but...
Sure.
Yeah, but I guess what I'm saying is I don't mind the idea of two more power and trample on like a Tarmogoy if they think that they have an answer for. It just, when you're trying to push through damage and eke out the win, I think it works.
I think two is rough. I think one, I don't hate the idea of one.
One of Rancor?
Yeah, one Rancor.
I'm leaving.
Okay, goodbye. All right, so... As Ben exits, I'm going to give my little notes. And they're pretty close. I mean, this is a deck, and I'll read through the deck list, is not insanely... It's more of an Alex Kessler-style deck, if you will. It's a bunch of really good cards. So to start with lands-wise, Breeding Pool, Forest. Three Breeding Pool, one Forest. There's lands. I don't think we have to get into that. But on to offlands. Four Gitaxian Probe, four Jace Vryn's Prodigy, four Lightning Bolt, two Mana Leak, four Remand, three Snapcaster Mage, one Steel Sabotage, four Tarmogoyf, four Thing in the Ice, two Vapor Snag, two Vendilia Click, and four Young Pyromancer. So I think it's easier to talk about what cards are probably more easy to cut than to talk about anything else first. And as far as I'm concerned, the easy cuts are you want to go down to one Vendilia Click and put one to the side. You want to get rid of the Steel Sabotage. You want to get rid of the Mana Leaks. And you want to... which I think is bad in this type of deck. And I think you want to go for only two Jace Vryn's Prodigy. Jace isn't great in these decks as much as more control-y decks because the tempo play, it's meant more of a stall card, and a lot of your cards are already instants, which makes Snapcaster Mage just slightly better. And cards I would add, you know, add a Gutshot maybe. Add, you know, what Ben said with Rancor, I think is a viable option. Adding something like I really want to see more burn spells, more things for Snapcaster Mage to take and then fire at your opponent to kind of go over the top. So what I really like here maybe is even Burst Lightning, because it's a mana sink late game. It's great with Snapcaster Mage, but it can ping off little blockers in the beginning, and it helps you out a lot there. Similar is kind of Fork Bolt, which is better against Coco decks because you can get rid of a Bird of Paradise and a Noble Hierarch, or against Infect decks where it's just nuts. And possibly bring up into Serum Vision land. This is a deck that obviously you want to chain spells, and so being able to filter through the top cards of your deck is very helpful. Those are maybe the main changes. Otherwise, this is a deck that Remand is better because you're just trying to stall, and getting more card velocity is better. The more cards you draw, the better your Thing in the Ice is, the better your Young Pyromancer, your Tarmogoyf is, because you're putting stuff into the graveyard. So that's what I have to say there. That's kind of it for the episode. It's going to be a little shorter this week because Ben had to go, and because we're kind of doing a little last minute. And by last minute, we've been late 3 days. So sorry about being late. I want to remind you all to follow us on Twitter. We are at the MMCast. I am personally at Kess Wiley. Ben is at Ben Bateman Media. Make sure to follow on Patreon. This episode was brought to you by our Patreon. So the way our Patreon works is the base level is you get to submit deck lists and deck techs. And when we do a Deck Doctor episode like today, we're actually only taking deck lists that were submitted through the Patreon. So as a base requirement to get your deck submitted for these episodes, having a Patreon subscription is the best way to kind of accomplish that. So make sure to kind of go about doing that. Make sure to go check out the Command Zone. They are awesome. They do awesome commander content every week. And they probably have a sweet episode next week or 2 weeks from now, because they're currently going to Vegas for Eternal Masters weekend to do a whole draft of that set all the time. Make sure to check out Don't Make This Weird. They're the clothing company that's helping us kind of come up with cool merch and trying to take us to the next level and going to help us maybe produce more video content in the future. We are posting these now to YouTube, hopefully more consistently. The editor who is helping us, Mike Clary, is committed to helping us. So check out our YouTube channel. It's at Top Deck. It's Top Decking TV. Sorry. It's Top Decking TV on YouTube. And yeah, thanks for listening. Sorry it was a little short. Sorry it was late this week. And we'll see you guys on Monday.
Thank you for your attention. For further inquiries, send an email to the mmcast@rocketjump.com. See you later, alligator.